Okay, dear friends, this Geshmak Yasugya, oh, thank you. Oh, you got a spare one?
Yeah.
Shkoyach. Very, very efficient, as always. Well done. Thank you. Thank you. I'm leaving it here when I'm finished. Okay, Bishalakum, yesterday was Geshmak Yashia on the Shwama, Geshmak Yaseida in the afternoon, and today we move on, Rabbeisai. Today the discussion is different forms of cooking. The original cooking was plain and simple. You put it in the pot, you put it in the water, you put it on the fire, and you cooked it. Plain and simple, bishlakum. The guy did the cooking, he put it on. That's classic case of bishlakum. The discussions today are twofold. Number one, if I split up the bishl itself, the guy did a little bit, I took it off, and I finish it off. The yid did a bit, took it off, the goy did the rest. Is it already forbidden, bishalakum? Let's start this way. Goy put something on the fire, it cooked, it became kamachal ben drusoy, and it's edible. I take it off, I want to eat it. Yid did nothing at all. I'm allowed to eat it? For sure not. Nobody will allow you to eat that. The goy took it raw, he made it edible, and you're not allowed to eat it. What happens if subsequently the yid puts it back on the fire, and he takes it from being just edible and makes it gishmak edible? In Hilchos Shabbos, this is called a bishul. If you take something which was half cooked on Shabbos, it's edible, but it's only half cooked, you put it onto the fire and you cook it completely, you've done a malacha d'oraisa of bishul. So do we say, if that's the case, the yid did a new bishul now and it becomes mutter? Or no? Once something has become osa because it had a bishul akum, it's not going to change its status by the fact that yid continued doing that bishul later. This is an extremely important shaila and very, very relevant. A big machloikas, a ro'ah, and a rosh, and a sugya worth learning and understanding. The second discussion is different alternative forms of cooking. We know bishul akum applies to cooking, quite clear in the Gemara and the Rishonim, same applies to baking. Baking and cooking is considered to be the same in the eyes of the halacha. There is a completely different discussion called pas akum, and we're familiar that pas akum has a different set of rules. But that's not, according to most Rishonim, and not the way we Paskan, nothing to do with the fact that Pasakum is baked rather than cooked. Pasakum is different because it's Pas, not because of the baking. What constitutes Pas, and why Pas has different dinim, and in which ways is it more stricter, more lenient than cooking, Bisholakum, that's Mitz Hashem, tomorrow's sugya. My suggestion to all of those who are able to do so, don't miss tomorrow afternoon. Tomorrow afternoon is an important halachic discussion, the differences between bishalakum and pasakum, the dinim which govern pasakum, the dinim which govern bishalakum we've learned, and how do we marry these two? What falls under the category of pasakum, what falls under the category of bishalakum? But what's relevant to today is cooking and baking is considered to be bishalakum, as long as it's not bread, or the bread family. Now the question is, other forms of cooking, microwave cooking, induction hobs, different forms of cooking in steam, in hot air, different forms of cooking, are these considered under the rules of bishul akum, or nothing to do with bishul akum? It's not technically bishul. You didn't cook something in water, and it doesn't disturb me at all that the goy prepared food and made it edible in any alternative method. It could be, you're right, my good friend over here says, that if there would have been microwaves at the time when Chazal made the Issa, they might actually have enacted an Issa on the microwave. But if, technically, we say that a microwave doesn't come under their original Gezeira, and we are not great enough to decide today in 2023 that there ought to be a Gezeira against a microwave, so if it's not included in the Issa, then I'll be allowed to eat it, even though it might be that they would have made a Gezeira had they been asked to do so.
Don't you have the cloud that a Gezeira, if the parameters have changed,
is not necessarily included in the
gezeira. The question is, what are the parameters? Is the parameter that you took something which wasn't edible and you made it edible? And bishul is nothing more than a moshel, an example of such a thing. Or is bishul akum to be understood in its narrow literal sense, and it means cooking. And anything else which is halachically not determined to be cooking is going to be allowed. That's exactly the question. Now, these are the two basic sugyas for today. If you have in front of you a booklet, I would suggest as follows. On page Pei Aleph, you have over here the sugya in the Gemara, Pei Aleph and Pei Beis is the sugya, which is important to see. And then on page Pei Dalet and Pei Hei, you have the Rosh and the Ra'ah. The Rosh, if you have it in front of you, is really in the second column. It's all grayed out over here, the whole of Siman Amud Beis. But what you're looking for is, towards the end of Siman Amud Beis in the Rosh, at the end of the line, one word before the end, there's a dot. And it says over there, Ro'isi mi she'osar. I saw those who hold that it's osar tavshil shebishloi akum, kamachal ben drusoi. If the goy cooked it, kamachal ben drusoi made it edible. And afterwards, the Yid, Gomra Yisrael, the Yid then finished it off. The Rosh quotes those who asa this, and he disagrees with this. That's the Rosh. You've got to see the raya of those who hold that it's forbidden, the raya of those who hold that it's mutter. The next page is a page of Teres Abayis, which is a sefer of the Rashba. The Rashba wrote what you and me would call a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. He called it Teres Abayis. The Ra'ah wrote Bedek Abayis, which is his Hasagas on the Rashba's Teres Abayis. What's most relevant to us now is the Bedek Habayis on page Pei Hei, which is grayed out over here. L'inyum bishul shanas alade goy v'yisrael. When the goy did the first bit and Yisrael did the continuation. Incidentally, if you go back in the booklet on page Pei Aleph, you'll see at the bottom of the page, on the left-hand side, it says Rabbeinu Chananel. And although it's not grayed out over here, but you need the last Rabbeinu Chananel on page Pei Aleph, which is important for our discussion over here. Pei Hei Pei Vav is the Ra'ah, worth seeing. And then, that's the sugya of when the goy did, Machal Ben Ritzoy, the Yid did the rest. Page Pei Zayim, we move to the next subject. What's the din of alternative methods of cooking? In Pei Zayim is a discussion in the Rosh, when the goy did Melicha. He didn't cook it, but he made it edible, Al Yadei, either steam, hot air, or other methods. And that's exactly the discussion you'll see the ran over here, which is important. Keep turning till you get to page Tzadi Gimel, and you have the tshuva in Shevet Halevi of Rav Vozna about microwave. Keep turning, and you have an important Issa V'Heta on page Tzadi Hei. Very important, but my suggestion, when you're reading it, remember, we don't paskin like this Issa V'Heta, but it's for Tamid Chum like yourselves, it's worth learning well this Issa V'Heta on page Tzadi Hei. And then we have, Tzadi Vav, Tzadi Zayin is already back to time switches, which we're not going to have time for. Rabbi Yisai, it's a Geshmaka Sugya today, and if I may say so, tomorrow is extremely important, if those who can manage to be here. Enjoy.